time for every Christian to pursue the victory that Christ has won for us.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The Apostle Paul was in chains, locked behind dark prison walls, yet we find him rejoicing, bathed in the sunlight of God's favor. Thus, he writes to his beloved young prodigy, Timothy, encouraging him to stand fast in the faith. Tonight's message from Pastor Brian Grant is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy, from which he draws for us three elements of faith required for the servant of God in order to pursue and enjoy the victory God has in store for every believer. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, Pursuing Victory.
It was March 31st, 1981, and it was the big night for the Oscars. But when the Oscar for Best Picture was announced, the experts were in shock, for the small budget film, Chariots of Fire, had won another Oscar, their seventh Oscar for that night. Chariots of Fire, some of you may have watched the movie Chariots of Fire, but Chariots of Fire tells the story of Eric Liddell, an amazing Scottish sprinter who was known as the Flying Scotsman. How many of you ever heard of Eric Liddell and Chariots of Fire? Eric was a Christian, and he was favored to win the 100 meters in the 1924 Olympics. We're in the Olympic season again. But in the 1924 Olympics, Eric Liddell was expected to win the 100 meters, but he declined to run because it was being run on a Sunday. Thank God for young men who still believe that Sunday is the Lord's day. I'm going to leave that alone. But suffice it to say, although he was expected to get a gold medal at the Olympics, his commitment to God was so strong that he forfeited the opportunity to run. So he was now in the 400 meters, which was not really his race. But somehow he made it to the finals in the 400 meters. But shortly after the race started, he was knocked to the ground by one of the other runners. And by the time he got up, all the other runners were at least 20 meters ahead. His hopes for winning Olympic gold was sunk. But Liddell was determined to pursue victory. So instead of quitting, he got back up and ran as hard as he could. As he entered the final stretch, he was still behind. And as all the runners approached the finish line, everybody was on their feet because Liddell was moving up. Everybody was on their feet as they came to the line. And to the shock of the crowd, Eric Liddell was not expected to win. And not only was he not expected to win, he was on the ground when the others were way down the field. Eric Liddell had come back and he had won the race. Listen, he had not only won the race, he had set a new world record. Is that something? Eric Liddell had successfully pursued victory. In the month of May, I started a series on 2 Timothy that was entitled Living for Christ in a Hostile World. And today I'd like to pick up where we left off as I speak today on the theme, Pursuing Victory. I'm sure many of us would agree that there is growing hostility to the Christian faith. I don't believe there's much argument there. There's a lot of hostility accountability being directed to the church and to Christians. But I want to encourage us that we don't have to cower and hide, for God's church will be victorious. Amen. Young people, you're going to face even greater hostility than we faced, but we don't have to cower and hide, for the church will be victorious. In Romans 8:35, the word of God assures us that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Victory is ours. But although victory, come on now, young people, stay with me today. This is a very important message. Although victory is assured, the devil is going to do everything he can to knock you down. Do you hear what I'm saying? The devil, he's not going to say, I'm going to just leave him alone because he loves Jesus, she loves Jesus. He's coming after you. He's coming after every Christian. But I just want to say, come on now, even if he knocks you down, you don't have to stay down. Sometimes a Christian gets knocked down and they are in such a muddle that they stay there. But we need to do like Eric Liddell. When he was knocked down, he got back up and he ran as hard as he could. And I want to say to a Christian here this morning, or to a Christian listening to me, oh, somehow you feel you have been knocked down. You have made mistakes in your Christian life. You have messed up. But listen, you don't have to stay where you are. With the help of the Spirit of God, you can get up, because victory is ours. It's time for every Christian to pursue the victory that Christ has won for us. Let me share with three key requirements with you this morning. Three key requirements to pursuing the victory Christ has in store for his church. Here's the first thing I want you to write in your notes. We must stay focused on God's mission. We must stay focused on God's mission. Look with me on 2 Timothy chapter 2. Keep your Bible there, 2 Timothy. We're going to look at some other passages. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible tells us, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying: if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Because of our sinful nature, it's easy to become so self-absorbed that we lose sight of God's mission. So what is God's mission? What is God's mission for his church? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And just let's read three verses from verses 17 to 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Are you there? Say amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. No, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And what has he done? What is the mission? He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, what? The word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So add this to your notes. What is God's mission for every Christian? God's mission for every Christian is to join him in reaching and discipling those who do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord. That is our mission. Our mission is to join, work alongside the Lord Jesus Christ as he seeks to reach and disciple men and women for Christ. Are you involved in reaching the unsaved and discipling believers? Paul was living in an age that was very hostile to the gospel, and because of his faith, he was now in jail, chained and awaiting execution. But despite the terrible situation he was in, Paul was determined to carry out God's mission. In other words, we don't carry out God's mission only when things are going well. Amen? No matter what our circumstances, we may be going through physical problems, we have medical issues, but no matter what the challenge is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility. We must be focused on God's mission. Some of us get to an age where we think it's time for us to relax. We can sit back because we have served. But God wants to remind us today that no matter our age or our stage, if you know Jesus, you must be focused on God's mission. Amen? Are you involved? Are you reaching others? Paul was determined. Our world is changing so quickly. It's not unlikely that they will soon pass laws declaring parts of the Bible as hate speech. You have already seen the trend. And as you watch what's going on in some other countries, you realize that some of the Bible, that the evil one is targeting the Bible, and he's going to make sure that some governments will stop you from saying certain things in the Bible. But might we be as faithful as the Apostle Paul, that no matter what, we will what? Declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. Yes? Be in prayer for those who have to preach God's word. Amen? Because if we're faithful to God, we're going to sometimes have to break the law. Who are we going to obey? Are we going to obey God or are we going to obey man? And so, young people, it's very important that you grasp this. We must always be faithful to God, no matter what the authorities say. Paul was in jail because he was standing and preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. But I tell you, I must tell you, it was amazing to me. When you see him in jail, he was still so excited about winning souls to Christ. And listen, he was rejoicing that people were getting saved. Look back here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. We read it. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, I'm willing to suffer for the elect. We're going to talk about this. Who are these elect? He says, I'm willing to suffer anything and everything for the sake of the elect. He says, listen, I'm in chains, but the gospel is not chained. Aren't you thankful? No power of hell can chain the gospel, amen. No power of hell can change the gospel. And this dear notes, the gospel cannot be chained. And as Paul sat in chains awaiting his execution, many of the elect were coming to Christ. So who are these elect? Who are these elect? At this dear notes, every 4 years, the United States has an election giving us a chance to elect or choose a president. I know you want me to say something about all of the drama of this year, but I'm going to leave that for politicians. What I do know is we better pray. If you never prayed before, start praying now. Because our country is in trouble as we make these big decisions as to who should we vote for. But let me get back to my message. And just as we get to choose a president, God has elected, amen? You can write this down. God has elected or chosen those who will be saved. Amen? We get to choose a president. God has already chosen those who will be saved. Listen, but since he's God, he doesn't have to wait to see how we'll turn out. He doesn't have to watch how we're performing in a debate or anything like that. He doesn't even have to wait to see if we're leaning towards him. He made the decision long ago, and some of you are here, and you know some of us, we have gone through some stuff in our life. We have done some stuff. That if the other people in church knew what we have gone through or done, they might want to sit as close to us. But listen, no matter what we have done, God loves us. Amen. He loves us. You see, we like to quantify sin and we say that was a bad sin and that wasn't such a bad sin. Do you know we do that? But as far as God is concerned, what? Every sin is big. Because every sin is an affront to the holiness of God. Every sin is a big sin. So let's not fool ourselves into saying, oh, I'm just doing a little sin. Every sin is an affront to the holiness of God. God has elected or chosen those who will be saved. But since he's God, he doesn't have to wait to see how things go. You see, we still want, and nobody knows right now how the election will turn out. And you see all around the world, all of these waves are blowing. Look at what happened in England. And entirely, they just swept the entire previous party out. Did you see that? It just happened this week. An incredible change. France, they're going through drama right now as they're shocked as to what's going on in their system as it's time for election. Listen. But none of this caught God by surprise. Amen. He knows the end from the beginning. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1. Hold your spot right where you are. But Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him. Listen. Just as he chose us, aren't you glad? Listen, if you're a child of God, aren't you glad that he chose us in him when before the foundation of the world? Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's talking about you, that God chose you before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. He didn't just choose us. He determined that we would live aright. I better not go down that path because that's not the subject for today. But don't think that all God did was choose you so you'd go to heaven. He chose us so that we would live right, that we would live holy. Amen. And he has equipped us. Don't say, I can't help it. It's a lie. It's a lie from the devil. Every born-again Christian can live right because the power of the indwelling spirit lives in us. Christ lives in us. And by the power of the Spirit, he can help us to walk right and to live right. Amen. God doesn't have to wait to see how we turn out. Write this. The elect are all those chosen by God for salvation from before the world began. Even before I was born, God chose me. But I could only know I was chosen after I responded. People say, well, if God chose me, I don't have to do nothing. Come on, man. You're crazy. The only way you will know you're chosen is when you respond to the Spirit of God. And as I've said before, you suddenly realize that there was one side of the door says, whosoever will let him come. And after you walk through that door that says, whosoever will let him come, and you come to Jesus, and you turn around and you look at the same door, you see on the other side of the door a sign that says, chosen from before the foundation of the world, by the Spirit of God's leading, you came, whosoever will let him come. But now that you have come, you realize the only reason you were able to come is because you were elected. You were chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. Amen. And I thank God that as a little boy, I responded and I said yes to Jesus. Thank God I'm saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you sure? Sure? Do you know for sure that if you died today? I don't want to tell you my story, but I tell you, but when I faced and I felt I was going to die that night, I tell you, it gave me great assurance to know without the shadow of a doubt that if I died, I would wake up in heaven with God. Now, do you have that assurance? Young man, young lady, older person, do you know for sure? Don't leave here until you know for sure. Amen. Just because we're chosen, let's not think we were chosen for a fun-filled joy ride to heaven. For if that was true, God would owe Paul an apology. Am I right about that? If becoming a Christian, some of us think being a Christian is a joy ride to heaven. If it's supposed to be a joyride, he would have to apologize to Paul. Because Paul was in chains. He was in jail. It wasn't a Philadelphia jail where they could give you good food and all that sort of stuff. Where you have... I hear these prisoners arguing about their rights. I want to tell you, in them jails back then, you didn't have no rights. Oh, I thank God. The road to heaven is not an easy road, but it's a joy-filled road, amen? It's a road that's filled with joy, and it's a road that's filled with purpose.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.